Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and as always, I am joined by Chris Castain, my lovely co-host from Georgia, and John Butler from the city of Chicago, not so lovely. How you doing, John?
Doing good, getting over being sick, but other than that, this weather change is really getting to me, apparently.
Is it cold there now?
It's gotten to about 70 as the high the last couple of days, so we've seen a lot of sickness going around here, so just getting over a head cold.
John completely glossing over the fact that I took a shot at his beauty compared to Chris's.
You took it to the city, not mine, so doesn't matter to me. You can't get any uglier than that game last night with Glennon.
Well, that's a great segue in. Last night, Green Bay waltzed all over Chicago. The most pressing point I think we'd all want to get across about Green Bay is they are extremely in sync this early, which is weird because usually we're talking about Aaron Rodgers like struggling and falling off the wagon this time of year, before he becomes the best quarterback in the league from like late October to January. But he looks to be in that kind of form right now. He kind of shook it off during that second half against the Bengals, and I really think he's on a roll. One interesting thing about the Packers, they did lose Ty Montgomery for a few games. It's sounding like in this one, maybe not super long, but they're saying 1 to 2 weeks. And Jamal Williams has a knee issue. So they are, and Davante Adams, of course, big hit. And we'll talk about that a little bit next here. But Green Bay is getting a little bit thin as far as injuries are concerned. They're already without their two top linemen. So that's something to watch. But let's get right into that hit. John, what did you think of it?
Well, when I originally saw it, it was obviously a devastating hit just because it's head-to-head and Trevathan was running in there full speed. I saw a lot of reaction that he did it on purpose, that he wanted to hurt Davante Adams, which I personally don't think that's what he was doing. Think about it anytime you're in a car crash or you see somebody coming at you. Your initial instinct is to curl up and prepare for a hit. And I think especially with everything that had been going on, you've got him getting dragged to the ground by Amos, who's trying to wrap him up with an offensive lineman pushing him, trying to get him off. And I think a lot of it is just bad timing. But the biggest thing is that Trevathan did lead with the crown of his helmet, which we all know you cannot do. And that's where the issue comes into play. Whether it would have hit him in the chest or the shoulder or ended up hitting him in the head, it's still leading with the crown of the helmet, which you cannot do in the NFL.
Yeah, it was definitely an ugly hit, but you could see him. I personally, the hit was egregious, but I missed the hit initially. At that point in the game, I had said, "Oh, this is a ball." I turned it off right about the time that the Green Bay touchdown got called back with that holding penalty for their line. And I thought, oh, this is a blowout. So I turned it off and I saw good old Twitter blow up. So I didn't really see the hit until about a few minutes ago. I saw some pretty different replays that didn't make it look so bad, but I'd agree it's a pretty bad hit. But I think that Trevathan was aiming for the shoulder. And you could see, like, after the play, he's physically distraught that he hit Adams that way. So I don't think by any means this is intentional, but there's definitely a suspension coming. Chris, how long do you think that suspension would be?
It should be only one game. I mean, you do have to take in the factor that I don't believe it was on purpose. The play was not made on purpose. But I do believe that when you're hit, when this crown, you're crown to crown, I mean, it's just unacceptable. Even, I mean, I know they couldn't really, whatever his name is, I can't think of his name right now.
Trevathan?
Trevathan, yeah. Nor could I say it, really. It's just unacceptable. I mean, I know you can't avoid, sometimes that happens, but, and this time, I don't think it was, I guess I don't think it was really I don't think this is a trend, but I do think this is something to watch for, maybe. The only reason I would say that is because this is the first time we've seen it. This is the first his biggest mistake of his, I guess, with his career, really. I mean, as far as those type of hits. So
he's not a Vontaze Burfict type guy seen him go out and do this over and over. And he should get about one game suspension because he knows by now that you cannot lead with the crown of your helmet. And that's where the issue really comes in. Whether he runs crown to crown or not, he's leading with his head, which even for himself isn't a good thing for his career health.
Yeah, not great either way. Looked good. I was really surprised that they didn't eject him immediately. There's a new rule in place, of course, that if there's an egregious hit to the head, you can be suspended for it on the first time you commit in a roughness. I'm blanking on the name. Intentional roughness, we'll call it for right now. But that's probably wrong. But anyways, a bad hit. We'll see what comes down from the league office. But moving into Sunday's games. First game on the slate, Miami and New Orleans in London. And in my opinion, the time change isn't made a big enough deal in these kind of games. I really do think it affects how a team plays. So let me ask you both this. Do you think it's going to have more of an effect on the Saints and slow down their obviously hot offense after they tore apart Carolina last week? Or do you think it's going to kind of jolt the Miami Dolphins into a better offense after Adam Gase literally came out and said, "I'm tired of watching this garbage." Those are actual words that a NFL head coach said, borrowing from our good friend Chris's vocabulary, and just told this team up. Basically, he borrowed Chris's saying. He was like, "You guys stink. You guys are garbage." So Chris, who do you think has the edge?
I really don't think the Saints offense will be slowed down. If I were to say, we're going to see the Miami Dolphins offense improve against that Saints defense anyway. I mean, that's just going to happen. But I would say, between the two, I would say that the Saints offense could be slowed down some, but it's not going to. Last week did not have the London game did not have an effect. That was just a wipeout of, I don't even know what happened last week. That had nothing to do with showing up. It did have something to do with showing up, but it didn't have anything to do with time, the time difference.
Well, I don't think it has much to do with the time difference, but you could tell that the Ravens were out of sync. And one of the biggest things that Harbaugh actually spoke on was that the team wasn't able to get comfortable because of the fact that there were such differences in travel plans from the hotel to the practice field, from the hotel to Wembley, from the practice field to wherever else they had to go. They didn't even get to Wembley until that day of the actual game. And that's where I think makes a difference, because we know every field in the NFL is much different from every other one. Soldier Field is different from Atlanta. Atlanta is different from Pittsburgh. I think it's more of that, but I believe that the Saints are going to have the big advantage here just because they have the better offense. Cutler he's looked okay in his first couple of starts, but Miami's defense is not very good. I think the Saints are going to be able to go into London and walk all over the Miami Dolphins.
All right, I guess go around, pick this game. I'm taking the Saints.
I've got the Saints.
Yeah, I'll take the Saints as well.
Moving on, next game, The Bills and the Falcons. Now, hear me out. I think that the Bills have one of the most underrated defenses in the NFL. Through 3 weeks, they have shut down the Panthers, they have shut down the Broncos, and they have shut down the Jets. Now, I know those aren't two, three super high-profile offenses, but the fact that they've held them, almost all of them, to under 20 points is very impressive. None of those teams score more than 20 points against the Bills. So, and I believe that Tyrod Taylor has the ability to break a game plan even for a good defense like Atlanta. And I really think LeSean McCoy is due for a breakout game. I'm picking the Falcons in this game, but I really regret it. I kind of regret not picking the Bills in our pick'em because I think it would have been a great chance for an upset. Is there any over 50% chance that the Bills upset the Falcons? I'll start with our resident Atlanta Falcons fan.
No, the Falcons will go into New England 6-0. But besides that, let's get off that. I think we are overrating who the Bills have played. Look, the Bills played the Jets. I mean, good, come on. I mean, the for crying out loud, the Jets just beat the, who did they beat, the Browns or somebody?
No, the Jets beat the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, yeah, the Dolphins. That has no meaning to me. The Bills haven't really played anybody. They played Denver. Denver didn't show up. Trevor Siemian didn't show up. And that his stat line shows that. However, I do think the Bills' defense is a little underrated, and I thought it even before the season started. I thought this defense could be legit, but I don't think it's legit enough to shut down Atlanta to under 26 points. That's why I would say Atlanta wins probably 33-23.
For me, the biggest thing is that I don't think the Bills can keep up on offense. The Bills have had a good defense so far, but as you said, they've played the Panthers, the Jets, and the Broncos. Broncos have looked all right on offense for the most part. They blew up in that Dallas game where they looked really good, but they just haven't been able to be consistent. Now, the biggest thing to me is Tyrod Taylor has only been able to throw for more than 300 yards in one game in his whole entire career, and that was last year on December 24th against Miami, and they still lost that game. They're going to have an offense because Atlanta showed that they have a very great offense. They can score on almost anyone. They put up 30 on what I think to be a very legit Lions defense this past week, and they got very lucky to get out of that game with a win. There's no way that the Bills have a chance of beating the Falcons here.
All right. I just think it's going to be a really close, good game. I'm really excited to see how this game turns out. But one thing I think that could win the Bills this game, and I'm not saying that Matt Ryan can't do it. I'm just saying he'll have to do it. I really think no one's been able to shut down Devontae Freeman just yet. I think the Bills could do that. And I think Matt Ryan will step up to the occasion, but he's going to have to in this game. He's going to have one of the games like he had last year where he throws for over 300 yards and four touchdowns.
I don't think so. If the running game's there, then he could have 250 yards, and I think he'll be fine. Two touchdowns will probably be fine.
My point being is that I think that the Buffalo Bills defense can shut down the Atlanta running game because I think while the coverage isn't fully there yet, they shut down C.J. Anderson. And I get it that the Broncos have been sporadic, but I do believe that C.J. Anderson is one of the top 10 running backs in the league. So I think if they can shut him down, I think they can shut Freeman down.
I'm going to disagree that Anderson's a top 10 back, but it's the other thing is it's hard to shut down that running game simply because you have Freeman and Coleman. You've got a two-headed beast there that is very hard to stop.
Well, it's not all just right about Freeman and Coleman. It's about the offensive line. I think Atlanta's offensive line is two times better than Denver's. And I really do believe that.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. But I just think you guys are kind of underrating the Bills. Moving on to our next game, a game between two 0-3 teams, the Bengals and the Browns. This game, not because of a whole lot of excitement, but I really do think it could be a high-scoring affair and pretty exciting coming all the way down to the wire even. It's certainly not going to be a blowout. Who are you guys picking in this game and why?
Go ahead, Chris.
I'm picking the Bengals mainly because we had a discussion on Twitter earlier, and I said, along with you, John, you said Deshaun Kizer is inconsistent. And all right, he's inaccurate for me. He doesn't have the accuracy yet. He's a rookie. And that's the difference for me. I know Andy Dalton's not a good quarterback, and I'll put that nicely. But I do think Andy Dalton comes out on top, and I do think he's a little bit better than Deshaun Kizer, and that is literally the only reason why I would pick the Bengals. But we all know the Bengals find a way to lose, so it would not shock me if the Browns won, but I'll pick the Bengals by 3 just for the heck of it.
I've got the Bengals in this game. Remember, Vontaze Burfict is done with his suspension. He is back, and that means a whole lot for the running game to the Bengals' plans to stop it. And the biggest thing is the Browns haven't been able to get a consistent running game from Isaiah Crowell or Duke Johnson Jr. Johnson's been great in the passing game, but that running game, with all the money that the Browns have put into that offensive line, I'm surprised they haven't been able to get a better yards per carry thus far. The Bengals are A.J. Green and Andy Dalton seemed to get into a rhythm last week in Green Bay, or playing Green Bay, and I think it's going to continue here against a pretty decent Browns defense, but Myles Garrett is questionable. He's still dealing with an injury. I've got the Bengals all the way in this one, unfortunately.
I'm taking the Browns. I think that, one, the Browns running game, I get it that it was the Colts, but I feel like they really took off last week. And the reason that yards per carry is so low, John, is because they played two of the best running defenses in the league back-to-back weeks 1 and 2 in Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And I really do believe that the running game can get going. Probably not as much as it did against the Colts, obviously. But I also believe in Deshaun Kizer. I get that he makes some head-scratching throws, but not nearly as often as the millions of Browns quarterbacks that have come before him since they came back into the league after the original Browns left. I do believe that Kizer has what it takes. He holds on to the ball too long and takes way too many sacks, but he doesn't throw stupid interceptions. He doesn't really force the ball in anywhere. Like he's, yes, he misses some throws, but he doesn't turn the ball over. And taking sacks is a bad thing. I get that. But I'm taking the Browns in this game. Moving on. The next game was our PSF game of the week on our PSF Pick'em on ProSportsFandom.com. Go check that out. I'll put that in the bio of this week's show. I need to start doing that more, so would one of you two remind me? By the way, if you read the bios of our shows, we always get a nice review from someone, some memorable person. They're quite enjoyable. I think you should go. You should go check out some of our old episodes. Go check out the bios at least, and maybe give us a listen if you like what you hear. Keep listening and listen every time. But moving on to our next game, the Rams and the Cowboys. Big question here. In my opinion, I went and I watched the Cowboys-Cardinals on Game Pass. Dak Prescott in the second half looked incredible. Yes, he still made some game manager-type throws, but his athleticism was on full display. And honestly, he looked like a younger Cam Newton to me. I picked the Rams in this game, but I'm really torn. Who do you guys think wins this game, and what is the key to winning this game for each team? I'll start with you, John.
I've got the Cowboys in this game just simply because of the fact that their offensive line has been able to hold everything solid as it always does. And the biggest thing is we've seen that Rams defense be very consistent so far this year, but that offensive line of Dallas is just so great. The running game for Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott really started to take off again last week. And I really expect Prescott to be able to find Jason Witten open, be able to find Bryce Butler again. There's going to be a lot of offense, and I just don't think that the Rams have enough playmakers yet to be able to topple Dallas. Todd Gurley's going to give Dallas fits all day, but I'm still putting my money on Dallas at this point.
Right, I would agree with you, but I was really kind of iffy on this game. I couldn't decide which team to pick. And I kind of am changing from what I said on a few days ago. I'm going to pick the Cowboys, mainly because it's being played in Dallas, S.A. B, I think really the Dallas defense is not great, but we haven't seen consistency from that Rams offense all season. I mean, one game they're down, one game they're up. And I just can't pick the Rams for that reason in particular. And then reason three is we saw what happened in San Francisco when the Rams gave up 39 points to San Francisco offense. It's a joke in my opinion. I think that that Cowboys run game, the Cowboys are going to run over the Rams. I could see Ezekiel Elliott having 150 rushing yards, to be honest. I know that's not a popular opinion, but I do believe that.
I have the Rams just because I do believe that they've been consistent enough. Even when they lost to the Redskins, Jared Goff still played a good game, and Todd Gurley got his running legs back under him. I think it's going to be very close. But I get that the Rams defense had a bad week against the 49ers. I think Wade Phillips was visibly unhappy about it and has been very vocal all week about how he wants his defense to step up. I think that this is going to kind of be a coming out party for the Cowboys defense, and I think they're going to shut down the Dallas wide receivers. I do agree. I think that Ezekiel Elliott could have a big day. But I think it's close, and I just trust I have a good feeling about – I don't trust the Rams, but I just have a gut feeling that they're for real, and they're going to prove it by winning this game. Moving on to our next game here today, speaking of teams that were proving themselves to be real, the Lions last week had a heartbreaking loss of the Falcons on a last-second call that didn't go their way. This week, they play the Sam Bradfordless Vikings, but that's not a cakewalk because the game is being played in Minnesota. Great home field advantage there. I'd say it's one of – I do believe that there's a home field advantage there now. I've watched a few of their games this year, and that place is really loud. And the defense plays so well when they're there. Yes, it's Case Keenum. My question for you guys is, what Case Keenum are we going to get? And here are your two options. I don't think he's going to have another breakout game. But the Case Keenum that can't move the offense, or the Case Keenum that moves the offense just enough so that they can lean on Dalvin Cook and score enough points to keep possession, or the Case Keenum who makes turnovers and loses this game for them. I'll start with you, Chris.
I think we're going to see the Case Keenum that just doesn't show up for the game. That's the one I think we're going to see, because for me, Case Keenum, you have your most quarterbacks always have one to two good to great games of a year. This was Case Keenum's one of maybe two, depending on when we see Sam Bradford. And that Tampa Bay defense, let's just be honest, they didn't show up. That defense is better than what was shown. I wasn't impressed at all you had their the Minnesota running back. They drafted him, but he had 97 yards on one touchdown. That is completely unacceptable. The Lions defense is, in my opinion, is quite a bit better than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, especially the one that didn't show up last week. I just don't see Case Keenum being enough to beat these Detroit Lions, which I think is the top five team in the NFL. I'm going to pick the Detroit Lions by about 10 points.
The Buccaneers had a lot of injuries going into last week's game, too, which was a big difference in that game. Quan Alexander has been banged up, along with Levante David. He was banged up a bit. But I think something that really surprises me with the Vikings is Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen have been the best wide receiver duo so far this year. For a 1-2 wide receiver group, they have the most yards. I believe it's close to 600 already. And Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant are right behind them with about 490. But my biggest issue is Case Keenum. He looked great against a bad Buccaneers defense, but this is the Lions we're talking about. They were able to hold the Falcons to 30 points and were right there to win the game. Unfortunately, with what I consider a stupid rule of the 10-second runoff, which wasn't even on a coach's challenge, the Lions could have been 3-0 had it not been for that. And I really think this is a week for the Lions to prove themselves and say, hey, we're here for real. Our defense is real, because they're facing two very good receivers.
I think momentum-wise, Detroit has to win this week.
Absolutely, because the Packers won on Thursday night. They've got to be able to keep up with them. And yeah. I think the biggest thing is that we need to look at that a matchup to watch is going to be the receivers against those good defensive backs of Minnesota, because the defensive backs of Minnesota have been really, really good this year. But I think Detroit's going to be able to find a way to get more offense than the Vikings will. And I've got the Lions by about a touchdown in this game.
I believe in the Vikings. I have the Lions winning this game, but I do think that Case Keenum is going to surprise people again. I think this game is going to be a lot closer than people think it's going to be. I don't think it should be a foregone conclusion. I could actually see the Lions, like they did a lot last year, having kind of a come from behind win. I'm not fully in on Kenny Golladay. I need to see him beat one of these great cornerbacks in Minnesota and shred them all day to prove himself to me. But I do have Detroit winning this game by about a touchdown. Moving on to another game I think we all have the same pick for. Panthers-Patriots. Pretty short question here. Who do you have winning this game, and which non-quarterback will have the most yards?
I've got the Patriots, and I'm going to say it now. This is my lock of the game. There's no way the Patriots lose this game. The Panthers are so bad on every side of the ball. Yes, they may be able to find more offense in this game, but there's no way they can keep up with the Patriots. And for me, I'm going to go with Brandon Cooks. I've got Brandon Cooks having another big game. He's going to have the most yards from scrimmage this week, just because those cornerbacks are so bad and so are the safeties. That secondary is easily burnt. And I think Brandon Cooks is going to see a lot of fly routes and going to be going deep with Tom Brady all day, because they want to find that connection and get in sync as the season moves along.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I'm not going to pick this as my lock of the week only because I did. I'll pick a different game, but I believe Brandon Cooks will have the most yards in this game, and the Patriots will win by about 14 points.
I have this game being a lot closer, but I do believe that the Patriots still win. A surprise, though, I think Christian McCaffrey is going to have his breakout game. The Patriots' run defense just isn't that good. I think that Brandon Cooks could have a big game, but we were talking up the Carolina Panthers defense as one of the best in the league before they kind of got filleted by the Saints offense. And credit to the Saints offense. They're a good offense. Is it crazy for me to think, I don't think that the Patriots are going to lose this game, but is it crazy for me to think that Christian McCaffrey is going to have the most yards in this game?
No. Well, I wouldn't say no because of how bad the Patriots defensive line is. Or, but let's just call the Patriots, the whole Patriots defense out, not just the defensive line, but it's not impossible. I can see that, and I can see it being a 7-point game in that case, but it's more likely that Brandon Cooks will have the most yards than Christian McCaffrey.
I think they're going to key in on Christian McCaffrey because they're going to be able to one-on-one with Kelvin Benjamin. He's very slow. He's very large, but he just can't get separation from cornerbacks in the NFL anymore, it seems. And I think they're going to key in on Christian McCaffrey because he is the big playmaker. He is the offensive piece that the Panthers need to get going. So I could see where you're coming from with it, but I just think Cooks is going to be able to use his speed and take the top off of that Panthers defense pretty easily.
All right. Moving on to another game you guys may not think we need to spend a lot of time on, and we might, but let me make a pitch to America. I think Jaguars-Jets could definitely be an exciting game to watch this week. Two defenses that I think are very underrated, very good defenses, two very good running backs in Bilal Powell and Leonard Fournette, and two evenly matched quarterbacks in Josh McCown and Blake Bortles coming off arguably their best performances of the season against weaker secondaries, especially if you're Blake Bortles. While the Jets have a great front seven and great safeties, their cornerbacks aren't the best. I think this game could be close, and I think it's going to be my upset of the week because the Jags are favored to win. I'm taking the Jets in this game.
I wouldn't say that the Jaguars' defense is underrated at this point. They've had some very good games, and a lot of people expected them to be good this year because of all the additions of Calais Campbell, of Malik Jackson in his second year with the team, with A.J. Bouye coming in as the second corner to match with Jalen Ramsey. This was expected to be a good defense that was expected to carry the team. I just don't think the Jets have enough offense to be able to compete with Bouye and Ramsey, because Ramsey's been an absolute beast. He has been a stud corner since he came out of the draft. Even last year when there was not as many supporting pieces around him, he was able to carry that defense and really hold down the offensive options for any team. And the Jets don't really have that key wide receiver that they need to worry about. So I've got the Jaguars winning. I think that they'll be able to overcome Bortles' mistakes. He's going to have a few. I don't think we see the same Bortles we saw last week, but Leonard Fournette's going to be their go-to guy, of course. They're going to try and hide Bortles a little bit, but he seemed pretty in sync with Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns.
Counterpoint before, Chris, you make your point. I disagree. I think they do have that one wide receiving threat. Jermaine Kearse has looked very good with Josh McCown. Even in that blowout to the Raiders, McCown and Kearse were moving the ball.
That's like, also a bad Raiders secondary, though. We just saw them get lit up by the Washington Redskins. And
right, Kirk Cousins isn't that great. Don't sleep on Jermaine Kearse because he's a good wide receiver. He's a legit number one wide receiver.
I would prefer, on that team, yes. But I don't think he can match up with Ramsey or Bouye, whichever one they put on him.
Chris, who do you got in this game and why?
For me, it's just I don't think the Jets have enough pieces on offense. And I'm basically going to conclude what John said at the beginning. For me, I just think between that and the Jaguars defense being so good, in my opinion, I'm going to catch fire for this, but they're top 10 defense, in my opinion, mainly because they're drafted so many players in the first round. Because they're so, in my opinion, they may be tanking. I don't know if they're tanking every season or if they have been or whatever, but they're building the defense by the draft getting these top round draft picks, and also I don't, McCown's not going to have as good of a game as he did last week. Neither were Bortles, in my opinion. But I think the Jaguars can't overcome. It's going to be a very, very low scoring game. It could be 14-7. It could be 10-7. It's going to be a very low scoring game. But I'm going to pick the Jaguars to win 13-7.
Moving on to what could be another low scoring game, the Steelers and the Ravens. Now, the Steelers and the Ravens both coming off two very bad weeks, both losing to two of the two bottom five. Not the, the Chicago Bears, after what we saw last night, are a bottom five team in the league. When they played the Ravens, they weren't, but now they are, losing to two bad teams in week three. My question for each of you is, which one of these teams, which one of these groups do you trust more in a little game of who do you trust? Who do you trust, the Pittsburgh offense or the Ravens defense to bounce back?
I'm going to go with the Ravens defense. I trust them a bit more just because we've seen how bad the Steelers offense can get on the road. I still trust Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and that, but I expect the Ravens defense to really bounce back after a bad week, after they got absolutely embarrassed. And especially being at home, it's a big advantage, sadly. I still have the Steelers winning this game, and I think it's going to be fairly close just for the simple fact that the Steelers cannot, have not been consistent on offense over the past few years on the road.
Yeah, I would agree with you, but I'm going to, for this game in particular, this being their early game or the early game of the two games they play, I'm going to say that the Ravens defense, I trust them more right now. Later, I would say the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, offense probably, unless something happens that's unpredictable. But the reason I'm going to say that is because of the inconsistency of the whole offense on for Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger hasn't been consistent, in my opinion. And that's where the buck stops. That's where the buck starts. I mean, if he's not consistent, and the offensive line, I haven't been impressed with it so far. Le'Veon Bell has been okay, I guess. Okay at best, but I'm going to pick the Pittsburgh Steelers by three, but I'm not really confident.
Yeah, I trust the Ravens defense more, and I'm going to take the Ravens. And Chris made a good point. It goes that way in matchups too, as far as when both of these offense and defense get hot in the year. Traditionally, the Ravens usually win this first matchup in Baltimore, and then the late season matchups, Pittsburgh wins more. So I'm going to go with the Ravens in this one. I think the Ravens defense bounces back. I do think it's going to be a close, low-scoring game. I could see like a 17-13 kind of scoreline or 17-14, but pretty close and low-scoring, and I'm going to take the Ravens. Moving on to our next game, the Titans and the Texans, two very interesting teams. Let me just say this. I went back and I watched some tape. If the national anthem thing didn't happen and the comments about NFL players didn't happen, the biggest story of this entire week would have been the fact that a rookie quarterback went in and played his best game of the season in Foxborough and almost knocked off the Patriots. Deshaun Watson, when Dabo Swinney said going into the draft, this guy could be the next Michael Jordan, and people were like, oh, yeah, don't say he's the greatest of all time. He has all those tools. You can see where he's coming from. He is a fantastic scrambler. He has a great arm. He's a good decision maker. I think with enough time, and if he can put in the work behind the scenes and just be a guy that grinds things out and is a professional starting quarterback, I think he can be one of the great franchise quarterbacks in this league. And I know this is going to catch some flack maybe in this podcast room, but He reminds me of John Elway. Like, the way he plays like young John Elway. And I really like Deshaun Watson, but on the other side, you have the Titans. They've just had a big week. I'm picking the Texans, though, because it's in Houston. And for me, if the Titans win this game, I'm fully on board. But in the past, they've done this, where they go win a big game. Like last year, they won against Green Bay at home. And they go on the road the next week to a division rival like Indy. And they lay an egg, and they're just terrible on offense, and they lose. I'm picking the Texans here at home. I'm taking the Texans. What about you guys?
Sure, I'm gonna take the Titans because the Houston defense has been so inconsistent and it hasn't been good at all. I mean, look at the that's why.
Stop,
I'm not gonna
get... I'm gonna stop you right there.
Okay. Early.
If you haven't watched the games, a JJ Watt. Oh, JJ Watt has no sacks, but like when you see these games over again, like he's getting to the quarterback and putting a hurt on them. Like he's drawing double teams, allowing the defense to get to quarterbacks. Just because Tom Brady put up 36 on you, that shouldn't be a surprise. That he did that even against some defenses in the league, like the Broncos in 2015. Like, I would not be shocked if J.J. Watt had his breakout game this week.
Well, I wasn't going to say. I was actually saying that the Houston Texans defense isn't what we saw last year, and it's not. If you even look at the stats or whatever you do, if you watch the game, it doesn't matter. The Texans defense just has not been the same, and that defense has to be for that team to win. It does. I mean, we saw it last year, and because they were getting to Tom Brady last year, and they got J.J. Watt back. So why?
Last year they had Brock Osweiler. Deshaun Watson is four times better than Brock Osweiler. Maybe even ten.
I'm not talking about the Houston Texans offense. I'm talking about their defense. Their defense just isn't as great right now as it was last season, and that's why I'm going to pick the Tennessee Titans. I liked what I saw last week against a very good Seattle defense.
I'm going to take the Texans in this game. I like the Titans. I really do. I'm going to take the upset, and one of the reasons why is Will Fuller is back. Will Fuller is ready to stretch those defenses that he's missed so far, That's going to be huge for that team because everyone's kind of been able to stick around the tackle box and be able to defend the run against the Texans because there hasn't been that other option with DeAndre Hopkins because C.J. Federowicz has been hurt. Braxton Miller hasn't been great as a receiver. They haven't had any other option really there. And with Will Fuller back, it's going to stretch everything. I think Deshaun Watson's going to be willing to take that delay and be able to push the boundary. And I like the Titans. Their defense isn't that great, and I don't know if they have a corner that can match up with Will Fuller's speed, especially since his injury was a collarbone. That isn't going to affect his speed at all. And it's going to be able to open it up more for Lamar Miller, and who I think will eventually win that starting job at some point this year, Donta Foreman. The Texans' defense is going to have a tough time against that Titans' offensive line, which is great, but I think the Texans find a way to win this game.
All right, moving on to 49ers-Cardinals. This is a game which I think has a lot of intrigue in it. Carson Palmer, we made a verdict on him way too early. What we saw him week, I believe this. Yes, he's getting older, and when he doesn't have protection, he plays like that. But when he gets time to stand in the pocket like he has, he can demolish. He still has the arm. He still has the mind. I believe that they could have won that game against the Cowboys. I think the defense looks okay. I think this is going to be a very tight game. I really think offense takes about a year to put in, and even when the Falcons had it at first, it took them a little while to figure it out. I think the 49ers are starting to figure here. We saw it against the Rams. I think Carlos Hyde is an absolute beast. I think he's one of the most underrated running backs in the league. I think he's a top 10 running back in the league with CJ Anderson. I don't know if you agree with me on that one, John. I think you'd be crazy to disagree. But I really like the 49ers in this game, and I really like Carson Palmer in this game. I'm super torn on who to pick. In our pick'em, I picked the 49ers. But it's in Glendale. I'm really high on Carson Palmer right now, and I'm in this game. But I think it's going to be high scoring and close.
I've got the Cardinals. I just don't think that the 49ers will be able to find enough offense. Carlos Hyde has really surprised me this year. I do like him. He is a top running back in the league. He just hasn't been able to stay consistent or healthy the last couple of years, but so far he has been. And maybe it's because of the way that Shanahan has been running his offense and letting him kind of move it around. They're not forcing him between the tackles as much. They're really mixing in different types of runs. And I think that the Niners defense still needs to be built up. Yes, they got Solomon Thomas in this draft. They also got Reuben Foster, but they still have a lot of work to do. And I think Larry Fitzgerald, we're going to see him rise again like he did last week. And like you said, Carson Palmer has looked better when he's gotten time. And the 49ers just don't have a strong pass rush yet. So I've got the Cardinals winning by about a touchdown.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I don't have a whole lot to say because I agree with both of your points. I don't agree with the Carlos Hyde point that Eric made. But the Cardinals defense is a little better than what some of us give credit for. And I think that'll show this week, especially against a Kyle Shanahan offense that normally takes a year to two to take effect for me. And that's why I would take the Cardinals. How about a touchdown? I would agree there.
All right, moving on to the next game. And it is between the Eagles and the Chargers. And oh, man, this game is big for the Chargers. Basically, they have to win this game if they want a shot to be in the... And I, of course, as anyone who listens to this podcast knows, have been my Chargers drum since the offseason. I'm still on board, but if they lose this game, it takes a major hit. I don't think they're going to, and here's why. Fletcher Cox has been ruled out for this game. That takes away a major piece of the Eagles' pass rush, which with Fletcher Cox would have given Phillip Rivers trouble all day. I think Rivers is going to move in the pocket, to throw in the pocket, to dissect this Eagles secondary that isn't the best because Ronald Darby's out. And I think that even though the scoreline doesn't show it, the Chargers played their best game of the year against the Chiefs last week. And I think that Ingram, Melvin Ingram, and Joey Bosa together are stuffing and pass rushing the league. So I'm going to take the Chargers here. I think it's going to be close. But just because I've been on the Chargers this whole time, I got to believe. I'm picking them one more week. I'm taking the Chargers.
Well, you'd have to take the Chargers because if I remember right, you had them going 13-3. So they'd have to win out this season to follow up with that. But yeah. The biggest thing is I just don't see – Melvin Gordon's been good for the Chargers. I'll give you that. Keenan Allen's been looking pretty good, but they haven't been able to be consistent. That Philadelphia line is actually very, very good. A lot of people don't see it just because it's Philly and it's easy to hate on them. But I think we really see a lot of growth with Carson Wentz, especially with Alshon Jeffrey, with Nelson Agholor. We've seen him kind of come back down to earth since week one. But that Eagles team is really something to deal with. Even without Fletcher Cox, they still have a very good defense. Those safeties are excellent, and it's still going to provide some big issues. So I've got the Eagles winning this one. This one's actually my upset of the week because the Chargers are favored by 2 points. I've got the Eagles moving on to 3-1. Let's go, Zach Ertz, baby.
Chris?
Sure. I would agree with you. But I'm going to – my thing with the Chargers is that, one, they always find a way to lose. And two, is the inconsistency from Philip Rivers. I mean, look, he's only 4 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. I can't say too much because I've only watched one Chargers game this season. But I haven't been impressed with the offense at all. And we all know that team rides as the offense rides. And if against that Eagles secondary and the front four, I mean, I'm going to pick the Eagles by 3.
All right, moving on. Moving on to Buccaneers-Giants. This game, not a whole lot to talk about. I did write up in my preview for this week, though, as I always do, on ProSportsFandom.com. You can go check those out. They're the Week 4 Ultimate. They are the Ultimate Previews and Previews that you can read in under 5 minutes. So if you've got a busy day and you want to know all the NFL stuff that you need to know to impress your coworkers, go ahead and just give that a quick read. It would mean a lot to me if you gave it a look. But I said in this game, and this is going to be an unpopular opinion in this room, and I'm kind of going to contradict myself. I think the Giants could win this game because, one, Jameis Winston makes a lot of mistakes, and we've seen him make a lot of mistakes in the past, and this Giants defense can force turnovers. Two, I think Odell Beckham really got going last week, and if he has one good game and the defense shuts down the Buccaneers attack, then I really do believe that the Giants could win this game. I mean, the Minnesota defense was able to shut down this Buccaneers attack, which everyone thought was unstoppable. Why couldn't the Giants? I think the Giants could win, but I'm going to back that all up now, and I'm going to contradict myself fully. And I'm going to say the Giants win this game because Eli Manning is the worst quarterback in the league, and the offensive line is awful. So I don't know. Do you guys agree with me? Is there a plausible way? The formula is in place for the Giants to win this game, right?
Absolutely. The Giants' defense shouldn't have too many issues getting the Buccaneers' offense off the field. That's what we've seen from them the last few weeks, is that Giants' offense has been absolutely terrible at staying on the field, keeping sustained drives. But the Buccaneers' defense is banged up. As I said before earlier in this show, it's the fact that they're missing a few key guys from that defense. And we knew that the offense of Tampa Bay could and should be good this year, but that defense really has to get pressure, has to be able to force turnovers to be great, because they don't have great playmakers in the secondary. They have a solid front seven, but I'd say it's about middle of the road. And I don't think the Giants are going to be able to find that running game they've been missing all year. But I don't think the Buccaneers have the defensive pieces to really match up with Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, and Odell Beckham Jr. I think they'll be able to find separation early and often and hopefully keep Eli upright this week, where the offensive line has struggled all year.
Yeah, I was kind of agree with you, but I'm going to – for me, it's the Giants' run game. The run game is absolutely awful. We know the offense – I've said it for weeks and weeks that the offensive line is absolutely a mess. Eli Manning's just not Eli Manning right now, or he may not be Eli Manning, period. It's been 3 weeks. I've seen the same exact thing. Why should I expect to see something different this week? And we've seen the defense they played. I'm going to take Tampa Bay but I'm not 100% confident on that.
All right. Well, it's good to know that all of us feel the same way. John, you picked Tampa Bay, right?
No, I've got the Giants winning this game, actually. All right. Because of the fact that I think Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard beat that defense.
Good for you, John. All right, I'm going with the safe pick too. I'm going with the Buccaneers. Moving on to our next game of the week, and it is going to be the Broncos and the Raiders. The national game of the week, arguably the most important matchup in that, the most important divisional matchup this week. Period. There are a lot. You have Lions Vikings. The winner of that stays up there, keeps pace with the Packers. Then you have Then you have Ravens Pittsburgh. That's going to mean a lot going down the stretch. And then you have Raiders Broncos, where you have the Chiefs where they are right now. And in my opinion, whoever wins the most divisional games out of these two teams right now is making the playoffs. It's in Denver. Trevor Siemian had the worst game of his career last week, on paper and if you watch it. He had a fantastic first half and then looked awful in the second half. I honestly was surprised to hear that. I was half expecting to hear, oh, he suffered kind of an injury before halftime. But no, it was just an awful game from him. My question, I'll pick this game last, but my question for each of you, starting with Chris, is who do you have in this game and why, and what's one big storyline that we should be following in this game?
This game is such a hard game to pick, and I'll tell you why. Just the inconsistencies from both teams. We've seen both offenses be extremely inconsistent, really both. I can't just say one. Oakland was inconsistent, especially last week in Washington, and in Denver. We know what happened there, that mess. But for me, I think the Raiders will have a bounce-back game. I think we're going to see those key pieces like a Michael Crabtree and Marshawn Lynch kind of expose that Denver Broncos defense some, I think we're kind of overrating the Denver Broncos defense. And I'm going to pick the Raiders by 7. I'll pick 7. I'll pick 7 points.
This is going to be a close game simply because it's a divisional matchup, and these two teams have a great rivalry over these last few years just because they've both been very, very good. But the biggest thing to me is this Denver Broncos defense hasn't been as scary as previous years. They've been very good this year with mediocre competition so far, but I really like the Raiders on a bounce back here. They're going to have some issues in the secondary, of course, but the biggest thing to me is Crabtree and Jared Cook and Amari Cooper aren't going to have that same kind of struggle that they had last week. The Raiders know this team. The Raiders are able to get pressure, and I think that's the biggest thing that we saw from Siemian really fall back down to earth last week. I've got the Raiders simply just because they've got the offensive firepower that's much more consistent. And when you compare Derek Carr and Trevor Siemian, they're not on the same level. And I've got Derek Carr stepping up, realizing he didn't have that great of a game last week and really carrying his team this week.
Well, I mean, as a Broncos fan, I can't consciously pick the Raiders, or I would, but I'm going to take the Broncos here simply because they're playing in Denver. And people don't give Denver enough credit. I think it's probably, other than maybe Seattle, the hardest place to play in the NFL. That's biased, of course, because I'm a fan and I've been there several times, but it's one of the top 10 atmospheres in the whole league. I do believe that the Broncos can win this game, but like I said, it's it's part of being a Broncos fan. You go into a season with really low expectations. Your team really gets you hyped up, and then they just become the mediocre team that you expected them to be a week later. I got way hyped about the Bills game, and the Broncos laid an egg. So as a Broncos fan, I can't pick the Raiders, but wink, wink, I'm going to pick the Raiders, because if I believe in the Raiders, the Broncos will do something just incredibly insane and show out and blow out the Raiders. I really think this game could go either way. This is going to sound down the middle and weak, but I can't pick it. It's a 50-50 toss-up for me. I can't, in good conscience, pick this game. I'm leaning towards the Broncos one way as a fan, but then you present all the evidence to me, and I'm like, no, the Raiders are going to blow this game up.
So you had three different picks. You picked the Raiders at the beginning, like you picked the Broncos at the beginning, you picked the Raiders at the end, and then you said you can't pick the game.
He's got you there. But Vegas would actually agree with you that it's, I don't think any team blows out either side, because even if Simeon kind of returns back to that middle ground, he's going to find his chances. And the Broncos are only a 3-point favorite at home, so it essentially makes it a push. You've got a toss-up game here where it can go either way. I think the Raiders have the more consistent offense, and they'll be able to pick their spots.
Yeah, the reason maybe I believe in the Broncos more is because I do think that defense is a different monster at home.
Oh, agreed.
It really is. And Chris, I know you said they had lackluster competition, but they wrecked what we were calling the best offensive line in the league going into the season in Dallas. And going into that game, we were calling Dallas one of the top offensive lines in the league. I really think that playing on the road is a major downfall for the Broncos, which is a clear flaw and something that they need to fix. But when they're at home, I don't think you can count out their defense. I really think that, John, I love the way Marshawn Lynch has been running, but he didn't have a great performance last week. And I really think the Broncos could shut him down. And then they have to go through the air against an incredibly talented Broncos defense. I think this could be like one of those 2015 games when they had Peyton Manning, and it was really just ugly defensive football to watch. And it's the Broncos win by a score of 10-3.
It'll be that low. I think it's going to be a 20-17 type of game, because both this Raiders defense is okay. They have some issues in the secondary, but both teams are going to find their offenses at some point and be able to do something through the air or the ground. But I don't think it's going to be that low scoring of a game.
No, I would agree. It's going to be in the 20s, like 27-23 Raiders. I did say 7 points, so I'll say 27-20.
Now, supposedly, my uncle listens to this podcast, who is the Denver Broncos season ticket holder and the man I owe Broncos fan allegiance to. So I'm going to pick the Broncos just to see if he's listening, but I'm very torn. I'm picking the Broncos, but I could see the Raiders winning this game. Again, I really don't know, but I'm picking the Broncos. No, I'm picking. I don't really know. It could go either way. I'm taking both teams. I can't be wrong. Moving on to the primetime game, which shouldn't be a primetime game, the Indianapolis Colts and the Seattle Seahawks. I believe all of us, and just answer yes or no here, believe that this will be an easy win for Seattle.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree, unless for some reason the Colts defense for some odd reason shows up better than I expect, and the offensive line of Seattle just shuts down like it's known to do. Then okay, we can possibly see a close game, but I'm just saying, yeah.
Hold on. That was leading into something. I was setting myself up there.
All right.
NBC needs to give me a contract, because I'm going to promote this Sunday night football game. Here's why you need to watch that Sunday night game. It's going to be a blowout, but it's going to be a fun blowout to watch because you're going to see Russell Wilson really open up the passing game, and you're going to see what Russell Wilson could be behind a great offensive line because the Colts' pass rush isn't there. And you're going to, on the other side, you're going to see who I believe to be one of the most fun quarterbacks to watch. If you have Game Pass, go back and watch Browns Colts. I know it sounds like a sleeper of a game, but our good friend Ian Cusick, when he came on last week and said it would be a great game to watch, was completely correct. Jacoby Brissett is an awesome quarterback. He's not a top 10 quarterback. I'm not saying he's elite, Chris. Don't freak out. I'm not making any bold claims. I'm just saying that Jacoby is a really fun quarterback to watch. He reminds me a lot of Michael Vick, and he's just got a great arm and Madden backfield dodge ability. The guy is a Madden glitch behind the line of scrimmage, avoiding sacks, and a great player with his legs. He misses a lot of throws sometimes, but he also makes big throws in big spots. I wouldn't be shocked if the Colts put up 21 points in this game, but I still think it's going to be a blowout. I got the Seahawks winning 42-21.
One guy I will mention that our buddy Johnders did mention before is Chris Carson. The guy has been lights out since he's up. The issue is Pete Carroll has come out and said he still wants to get Thomas Rawls and Eddie Lacy some work, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because Carson has been their best runner. And I wouldn't expect them to air it out as much as you really think they will. I expect them to try and get Carson a lot more work and get him going, especially with a chance behind that offensive line.
Yeah, yeah. If you haven't seen, man, I guess we could get sponsorships from NBC and NFL.com because I'm going to keep promoting Game Pass. If you've got a chance, go back and watch Chris Carson run against Tennessee. He has such a unique running base. He runs like Marshawn Lynch. He's got a wide base, and there's a lot of potential there. And he's such a big guy. Like, he looks like a tight end compared to Russell Wilson. And I get that Russell Wilson's short, but that's how big this guy is. I really think that he could have a big game against this this Colts defense, too. I agree, John. Any big points you'd like to make about this game, Chris?
No, not really. I believe it's going to be a blowout. So it's probably going to be the worst game of the week. I don't even know why it's on NBC Sunday night.
Quick for both of you, of course, you're picking Seattle. What's the scoreline, Chris?
30-14.
I've got 31-14. I'm right there with you.
Awesome.
I will say, before we move on real quick, this game should have been a prime time had Andrew Luck been able to come back from that shoulder, and that's the only reason that it's in that schedule. And it's too early to really bounce it from it, too.
Right.
It's so infuriating, too, because guess what? Next week is the week they can start flexing games. Yep. Like, it's so close, but we just got one more bad primetime game. But then again, this is the NFL. We could be getting Rams 49ers all over. Moving on to a lot of great games this week. And coming into, if you looked at this schedule in week two, you would have said a lot of bad games. But especially with how great the NFL was last week and how wacky it proved it could be and how it just touching never to count anything out. A lot of great games. And another great game, the Redskins and the Chiefs. I think this could be a really close, interesting game. Kirk Cousins and that offense are starting to blow up. And I'm kind of getting on board with the Washington Redskins. So what about you, John? What do you think of this game? And let me ask you both. Let's play a little bit. Actually, let's play a game here. Let's play a little bit of over-under. I'll start with this one. over under, Alex Smith throws 2.5 touchdowns.
I'm going to go over on that. I think he gets 3. I think Tyreek's got one in him. Travis Kelce's got one. And I think Kareem Hunt gets another receiving touchdown for himself this week.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm going to say 3. And I couldn't agree with what – I couldn't disagree with what John said. As far as how he gets them.
I think I'm going to go under. I'll just say 2. People have been hyping Alex Smith way up, and it's because he hasn't been as inconsistent. So I'm taking the one. So I'm gonna. The next question is over under Kareem Hunt. This was a run defense that shut down Marshawn Lynch last week. Kareem Hunt over under 110.5 yards.
I'm going over, baby. I've been hot on Kareem Hunt since the start of the season. Marshawn Lynch is still old. You can tell he's a little bit slower than he used to be, but Kareem Hunt is an absolute beast, and he is going to go over 110 yards.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I'm not. Well, actually, I would disagree with you. Excuse me. I'm gonna say 100 yards. I just don't believe in the. I just don't believe the Washington Redskins are gonna be able to hold him under 100.
I'm gonna say a little bit lower. I still think he has a massive day fantasy wise, 90 yards. But I think he's gonna get a lot of work in the red zone. It wouldn't shock me if he had 2 or more touchdowns in this game. So with all that being said, here is one last big question here. Is there any chance that the Redskins win this game? I personally think yes, and I realize I have to lock this up, but I'm going to take the Redskins as a lock here. And I don't want to lock it up, but purely cuz I didn't lock any other game up. There were easier locks, but I decided to take the high road and challenge myself. So I'm locking up the Washington Redskins just because I believe that Kirk Cousins can really blow up the scoreboard. I think that Washington defense is way better than what we give them credit for. I think it's going to be a close game, a low-scoring game. I'm going to take the Redskins' last-second walk-off field goal, 24-21.
I've got the Chiefs. I've got them going about, I think it's going to be 30-20 at best. I just don't think Cousins is that great. He has his games where he can just be absolutely terrible. And this Kansas City defense is nothing to mess with. They have been hot all year. Justin Houston shows he's absolutely healthy again ever since week one. And I just don't think that the we haven't seen the Redskins deal with this kind of speed all over the field in Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Kareem Hunt. And that's something that is really different. Yes, they were able to shut down the Raiders. The Raiders don't have a whole lot of speed. They're a very timing precise offense of, okay, here Amari Cooper makes his cut here, Derek Carr throws there, or offensive line blows up the defensive line and lets Marshawn Lynch get a 10-15 yard gain. The Chiefs have been blowing up everyone this year on offense, and a lot of people kind of default back to the old Alex Smith, but with as much speed as they have, they can do whatever they want on offense. Like I said, I've got the Chiefs winning 30-20 in this one.
Yeah, but I actually take a score line that I said earlier, 30-17. Chiefs win. Just too much talent on the offensive side and really on the defensive side as well. And Washington, I'm just not sure about yet. I've seen too much inconsistency. And I'm going to lock up the Seahawks in that Seahawks-Colts game because I didn't lock any other game up.
All right. Nice way to take the easy way out, Chris. Maybe challenge yourself next time. All right. Moving on. End of the week. Great episode, guys. We'll see you guys back here next week probably won't have a big three-episode extravaganza like we did this week, but we will definitely be back sometime early next week. We're going to have, I believe, two guests next week. For sure, Chris's buddy, Scoring Plays, who does the Scoring Plays podcast. I don't know his real name. I wish I did.
Josh Delaney.
Yeah, a good friend, Josh Delaney. I really hate calling people by their podcast names. So we'll talk to Josh at the end of next week, and we may have a guest on Tuesday, so stay tuned for that. Until then, you can follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. You can follow John on Twitter at JButlerPSF and Chris on Twitter at ChrisPSF. And, of course, you can find me on Twitter at Eric18Utah. And, of course, go check out ProSportsFandom.com and their sponsor. We haven't done this since probably the second episode, but we'll do it now. Pristine Auctions. If you like memorabilia or cards or want something cheap and affordable and a nice white elephant gift or stocking stuffer or something that you need for the holiday season, that's coming up soon, even though it's October 1st. But, you know, that's the way marketing works in America. So anyways, we will see you all next week, and enjoy your weekend. Enjoy some football. Peace out.